everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is your JRPG Report, episode 201. I'm your host, James Fisher. Thank you so much for tuning back in this cold January day, at least here in this neck of the woods. I'm not sure where it is, where you are listening to this podcast, but we thank you for listening. And into the 200s we go. Hard to believe this journey has lasted this long. I want to give a big thank you to everyone who reached out after our 200th episode and gave a congratulations on making it to that point. But in fact, you should be congratulating yourself, because without listening to this podcast, I would have no reason to sit here and ramble on for a little bit less than an hour each week about our beloved JRPG. So thank you so much for all that you guys do. Of course, a special shout out to those Patreon sponsors that throw their hard-earned money this way to keep this podcast up and rolling. So to the news we go. It's an interesting week of news. I really don't have any other way to describe it. We've got some new game news. We've got some cool action figures coming down the line, and something I wasn't prepared to talk about, video game inspired perfumes. Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a little bit. Let's start off with our lead story. We've got some new details about the battle system from Hyperdimension Neptunia Sisters versus Sisters, the upcoming action JRPG from Compile Heart and Idea Factory. We talked a little bit about some of those new mascot characters that are coming in there last week, but there was a new trailer that came out today or yesterday, this morning, whatever it was, and it's kind of showing off this battle system. Looks pretty fun, I gotta be honest, very fast-paced. It is a real-time battle system that relies on players to utilize various skills in order to defeat foes. Players will have access to a plethora of skills, and they will need them to chain together attacks to deal massive amounts of damage. This new trailer demonstrates how players can chain attacks together using a wide array of skills at their disposal. This battle system combines action and strategy. So you'll need to use strategery in this fight. You utilize various commands, combo skills, tactical skills, and chain attacks according to the situation in each battle to win. You will fight those real-time battles with three party members. The characters that you are not controlling will be controlled by the computer. Combat requires strategy. Consider the distribution of each character's AP. Switch between characters and utilize the skills of your entire party. It definitely sounds at least half inspired by Final Fantasy VII Remake. That was a very, very good action battle system, and we're going to see its influences, I believe, for a while. Those combo skills: freely customize your combo route to create an attack style all your own. Easily unleash original combos with the press of a button. You can unleash combo skills by spending the AP you accumulate during battle. AP is restored between attacks. By using tactical skills in battle, you can increase your maximum AP. So the more tactical skills that you use, the more powerful combos you can pull off. It should be noted that when you reach a certain level, you can have two combo routes instead of just one, granting you a wider range of attacks, allowing you to use different combos for different enemies. There are tactical skills, powerful character-specific skills that can easily be activated by expanding the tactical gauge that accumulates over time. Knowing when to expend the gauge and how to build it up is essential. As time passes and you attack enemies in battle, your tactical gauge will accumulate. When the gauge is full, press the triangle button to activate your tactical skill. Triangle plus up or down will also activate other skills. While you accumulate your tactical gauge, you can switch between characters, use combo skills, tactical skills, and so on. And now chain attacks. Party members can connect combos to create a chain of endless attacks. Exactly who you connect your combos with for the most efficient chain attacks will be significant and affect the battle greatly. Successfully connecting chain attacks is the key to victory. Additionally, by paying attention to the cost management of party members, your chain attacks can go even further. Combo skills, tactical skills, and chains, how and when you use them will ultimately decide the battle. Chains are the cost control, and they say it is essential to control your cost. The chain is a combination attack system, which you can freely switch between characters by unleashing combo skills and tactical skills. Even if your character's attack cost is spent and they cannot continue using combos, you can chain to a different character and continue the attack. So when you run out of AP during combo skill, you continue the combo by chaining it to a character with enough AP. This sounds pretty technical and complicated. It's probably not that bad in-game and will make a lot more sense, I'm sure, as you are playing it. The game looks pretty cool. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It just, you know, we still don't have that Western release window, just that it's coming out in Japan on April the 21st for PlayStation 5 and PS4. I mean, all these Neptunia games have made their way over here at some point in time. This one should be no different, but, you know, we don't have concrete evidence of that just yet. But as soon as we do, I will let you know. I thought this was a cool story. If you are playing Yi's 9 Monstrum Nox on PC, a new patch update has introduced cooperative gameplay. So that they did this on Yi's 8 as well. Two players can join together to not only fight monsters and explore dungeons, as in Yi's 8, but also explore the city of Malado. As America said in their announcements, the update also adds support for aspect ratios narrower than 16:9, such as 16:10 screen of the Steam Deck, and a number of minor bug fixes were also introduced. The local co-op feature allows two players to play together at every point in the story when more than one character is available. Know that there is an in-game co-op setting which you'll need to enable in order for this to work. Once the setting is enabled, the co-op player can drop in and out of the game using the start or equivalent button or any non-primary controller, while the select button is used on the secondary controller, toggles the player's ID indicators, P1 and P2, on and off. Unlike Yi's 8, where co-op was mostly limited to combat, the second player is largely equivalent to the primary player in terms of capabilities in Yi's 9, including movement and combat abilities. Using Monstrum gifts, discovering and triggering landmarks, enemies and events, opening chests, picking up collectibles, and initiating dialogue. Only interacting with menus and the map is restricted to player 1. Another significant improvement over the co-op feature in Yi's 8 is that the character switching is implemented individually for that player. That is, if there are 3 characters in the current party, players 1 and 2 can both independently switch to the currently unused character without affecting each other. Of course, there are limitations to this, and keep in mind this is a brand new feature to the game, so there will be some issues for sure, but I thought that was pretty awesome. Now, a very quick dive into a Google search, I could not confirm that this is for consoles, so it sounds like this is PC only. Which is kind of a shame. Like, it sounds like that'd be a really cool thing. And if you know for a fact that that is not true, that it is available on consoles, please drop me a note on social media or something that I'm an idiot. But like I said, I searched it on Google and I could not find anything other than the PC stories that this was a thing. But hey, one more reason to become the PC master race, right? So we've got some more news coming here in just a moment here on episode 201 of the JRPG Report. Before I get to do so, let me go ahead and plug our Sunday special for this week. So here's our plan, right? Not every 2 weeks, but I plan to do 2 Sunday specials per month, at least for right now. you know, things happen, who knows what, but we want to do at least like one conversation, interview type deal per month. And I want to do one soundtrack every month. I think that's pretty cool. So we've already had our Tales of Arise spoiler cast with Jordan at the beginning of the month. This Sunday, we're going to do a soundtrack. And every week, we start off with the beautiful opening orchestrated theme to Dragon Quest VIII. I can't remember when exactly I decided that was going to be the theme song for the podcast. It was a while ago, but it is what it is, and I can't imagine a more perfect thing. So anyway, long story short, that is going to be our soundtrack podcast for this week. You'll have the entire OST to Dragon Quest VIII and all of its beautiful, beautiful tones. On a side note, we get, like, you know, Final Fantasy concerts come over here in the West. How cool would a Dragon Quest symphony be, right? Actually get to hear all those sounds with a live orchestra. Make it happen, Square Enix. I don't want to have to go all the way to Japan for that. That would be very expensive. Back to the news. And speaking of Square Enix, they will host a Kingdom Hearts 20th anniversary event on April the 10th in Tokyo, Japan, the company announced. This event will feature a mini concert, a chat and question and answers with the development team, an exhibition, and, quote, much more, end quote. I'm sure they've got 3 months. They are still trying to decide exactly what is going to be going on there. A video of the event will be available online at a later date and time. Kingdom Hearts first launched, and this, I guess this would have been perfect if they could have done it day and date. It launched for PS2 March 28th of 2002. Maybe they couldn't quite get the proper venue for the 28th, but not too long. About 2 weeks after his 20th anniversary. So, hey, you know, we got close, right? But that sounds like a pretty cool event. What type of things will be announced? You got to figure, if there is a Kingdom Hearts 4 or a rebirth, I guess, or a crazy number, you know, whatever the next entry is in the Kingdom Hearts series, you got to figure that's the event to announce it at, right? We'll wait and see. Maybe they just want to focus on the celebration of 20 years and not look at the future. Who knows what that future is. If you played Kingdom Hearts 3 all the way through, you know there was still questions left to be answered, and what the future holds is really anybody's guess. But the only thing I know for certain is there will be more Kingdom Hearts. They are not going to let that franchise go, nor should they. It's a good one with plenty of promise in it. Now, if you are looking to scratch your itch between now and then, and let's say you've only got a Nintendo Switch, well, you'll be able to play them all here fairly soon. The Kingdom Hearts collection, all the games in various forms, different prices, and anyway, you're going to be able to play all those games on your Nintendo Switch starting on February the 10th. If you want to get them all, the Kingdom Hearts Intergram Masterpiece for Cloud Collection will be available at that time, and that will go for $89.99 for all 10 games. You could pick it up at launch for the Switch at discount of only $71.99. Now, if you just want to kind of get them individually, they're much cheaper. Like 1.5 and 2.5 is only $40. If you just want 2.8, it's $50. 3 along with Remind for $50 as well. All those have discounted prices if you get them at launch. So if you've been waiting to play Kingdom Hearts, like I said, all you've got to Switch, this might be an answer for that. Now, the key word in this is cloud. You're basically going to be playing this online and streaming it from another system. I guess that's the best way of describing this. I have heard the demo out for it. Free playable demos of this is available right now. So check it out. I have heard not so good things. And this is definitely not something you probably want to be playing over Wi-Fi. Of course, only the new OLED models have the built-in Ethernet connections. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't tried it personally. I've just heard that they are hard to play. There's some issues. If you've ever tried playing streaming games, you know the built-in issues to those. And these are bigger games, so it doesn't always work. But try it for yourself and see if it works. Maybe these were just some early reports and that they're just fine. But yeah, keep in mind you're basically paying to play a game. You're not really owning anything, so you might have some issue with that as well. Just let you guys know. But yeah, starting on February the 10th, you'll be able to play all these. But if you want to check out those demos, head over to the eShop and you can do that right now. Our last piece of Kingdom Hearts news is that Square Enix will release a series of Kingdom Hearts perfumes inspired by Sora, Riku, and Kairi. I didn't think those were words that would come out of my mouth on this podcast, but there you go. The perfumes are immediately available through pre-order through the Square Enix eStore. They will cost about $51 each. They will start shipping out on March the 26th. Now, these are currently exclusive to the Japanese eStore. It's unclear if they'll be made to purchase internationally. I just thought it was a... How could I not talk about perfume, right? Each bottle will come with a distinct charm that presents the character is inspired for. For example, the Kairi perfume will come with a star-shaped charm. Each bottle will have a different color. Sora's is blue, Riku's is purple, and Kairi's will be pink. So there you go. If you are a Kingdom Hearts fanatic, and well, especially if you live in Japan, then you got no problem getting this. But outside Japan, I don't know. There you go. While we don't have a firm release date for this other than fall of 2022, NIS America has opened up pre-orders for the limited editions of The Legend of Heroes Trail for Zero for both PlayStation 4 and Switch. This is this was a couple days ago, so you'll definitely want to head over to the NIS America or Europe stores post haste. You know how these things go. If you are interested, they will sell out quickly. Priced at $89.99, the limited edition will include a copy of the game, SSS classified files, our hardcover art book, the Anthems of Crossbell official soundtrack, which is only 10 tracks. It's a little bit small. Special support section assemble cloth poster, which is 17 inches by 24 inches. The Heroes of Zero acrylic stand, steelbook, and a collector's box. The acrylic stand has the four main characters on it. Looks like a pretty good deal. I think the game itself goes for $49.99 according to Amazon. And so $40 more for these special things is not too shabby. I'm on the fence about it personally. I'll probably get it if it doesn't run out. But the acrylic stand uses like some sort of weird chibi type models to it. And if you've been listening for a while, you know I don't like the chibi style. It's just a personal thing for me. So if I'm going to pay extra money for something, I'm going to want to enjoy it. And I don't love the stand. Like I said, the soundtrack's a little bit sparse, only 10 tracks to it. But overall, I think it's a good value. Don't get me wrong. I would love to see an actual release date for this, as right now it's just slated for PS4, Switch, and PC via everything the fall. I saw a screenshot from a user on Twitter that had placeholder dates for it, I believe at the end of September, but a quick double check to the Amazon store to see that is in fact not true, that they do have actual placeholder dates of December the 31st of this year, December 31st of next year for Azure and Trails into Reverie. So yeah, they don't know. but I do appreciate pre-orders going on early this is almost too early, but I guess maybe if they, by doing this early, they can make more, you know, copies of it if need be to meet demand. So, yeah, not bad. It looks pretty cool. We'll have to see if I end up getting this thing or not. Also available, I guess, for pre-order, there is a cute little Lloyd plushie. It's about 8 inches tall. You can order, I believe that's on the store as well. And if you really like puzzles, there's a Trails from Zero in Good Company 1,000-piece puzzle. Looks like it's at the bakery there in Crossbell. So there you go. At Morgan's Bakery. That's it. I couldn't remember the name off the top of my head. But yeah, there's some special things over there if you'd like to check it out, as well as pre-order. Like I said, those things usually go pretty fast, so you'll want to step on it if you are so inclined. We've talked a couple times about the incredible sales numbers for Monster Hunter Rise. It has now eclipsed the 8 million unit worldwide mark. Its release on PC has certainly helped in the past week, but that's a big number. It's Capcom's highest selling game. I think I saw that. I don't know where I read that at, but I thought it was Capcom's best-selling game maybe this generation. I don't know. The PC version has also impressed, even with a not super-duper gaming rig, you can be able to play. Oh, that's it's the most successful title of 2021. It became Capcom's best-selling single-platform title to date on the Switch. But now it's on PC, so does that still count? I don't know. I guess if you include, you know, the Resident Evil games, there was on multiple platforms, so it doesn't count. There's a good article over on Siliconia I shared on our Facebook and Twitter pages talking all about that PC port and the results that they got on their various laptop and desktop rigs. So that might give you a benchmark for what you need to have in order to play this game. Although if you're thinking about it, you probably know what you got and can handle a game like this, but I just thought that was a good way of seeing if, in fact, you can play this game on your PC or not. Just about a week to go until you Pokemon fiends can get your hands on Pokemon Legends Arceus. There's a new video that just came out giving the players a 360 view around the region. The video shifts from first person to third person and lets viewers, or no, rather... It shifts into first person and lets viewers move the camera around. That's a pretty cool video. I shared the link on our social channels. That's the type of video you definitely want to view on your own and get a better look at it as, you can control this one. The viewer is taken through a sprawling green fields on the back of a wire deer. Last year's headset. Eventually, the viewers are given a bird's eye view as they're flown around by a Bavari. And lastly, the video provides a glimpse of the riverside, while riding a Basculegion. So there you go. You can kind of see it as it's playing here on the YouTube version of the video. But January 28th, Pokemon players will get to have their hands on it. There's been some leaks out there. So if you are really curious, you can get your hands on those, but just one more week until the game comes out, so why not wait? Why would you want to kind of ruin that one? While not in this country, it's Japan only, Nippon Ichi has released a demo for Shikabanogaru no Bakumeshi. The demo is available now for PS4 and Nintendo Switch. That said, players interested in the demo can still download it if they have access to a Japanese PlayStation Network account or a Japanese Nintendo account. The demo gives players access to the beginning area of the game. Additionally, players can create their own characters and experience the full variety of customizations available. This includes setting certain traits for characters, which will determine what type of food they enjoy eating. Remember, that's central to this game. The game is coming out in just a week on January the 27th in Japan. Still no word on any sort of Western release. This one's getting closer and closer. Still nothing. So We'll have to wait and see if Nippon Ichi decides this is worthy of a Western release or if it's a little too weird. Maybe can't bring it out. You never quite know with these ones. Eggla Rebirth is coming to the West on February the 10th via the Nintendo eShop for $19.99. Developer Brownies announced. The Switch port of Eggla Legend of the Red Cap, originally released for iOS and Android. This game first came out back in December in Japan, but like I said, it's coming to the West and at a value price. Here are the key features: new missions and events, more than 50 new events, explore the town and interact with new inhabitants. There are more expressions for colorful characters, the freedom to roam the mystical world of Eglia, internal adjustments and balancing, and an updated user interface for Switch consoles. If you've seen the images and media for this game, you might be like, that looks at least semi-familiar, but odd in a way. And that's because the iconic artists, I'm just not very good at these names, am I? Shinichi Kamaoka and Koji Tsuda they worked on the Secret of Mana series, and they are involved with this game. So kind of has that old school Mana look to it, and you can check that out. Like I said, starting on February the 10th for Nintendo Switch for only $19.99. Upcoming, don't know if we're going to hear anything at this event show in particular, but the Playism Game Show will be on January the 23rd at 1600 Japan Central Time. You can watch that on YouTube in English or Japanese. I'm not sure what that translates into Western time-wise. You can follow the link on the social media channels and figure that one out. But if anything is announced at this, I will bring it to you guys next week. The Taipei Game Show 2022 will run from January 22nd until the 24th. So next week as well, we will have information about that. In particular, on Saturday the 22nd, there will be, Indie House Special Program, Dragon Ball The Breakers, Echoes of Mana. That's the mobile version of the Mana games. And there's also an Indie Game Award by IGN Japan that day. The next day is the Taipei Game Show Special Program, Gran Turismo 7, and then we might see something here, at least some new gameplay from Triangle Strategy, as well as Chocobo GP. The next day has some footage from Horizon Forbidden West and Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection, as well as Elden Ring. So if anything is announced or shown next week and I can see it, I'll bring it to you guys next week. Last little thing I want to pass along to you guys is two new figures you may want to add to your collection. First up, Mega House will open up pre-orders for the anniversary edition of Arsene from Persona 5. This figure is about $164 and it will ship out in July. Pre-orders are open for it right now. You can check out the links on our social media channels. Not sure what this is equivalent to, but it stands at about 280 millimeters tall. The anniversary edition has more pronounced colors. The red and black are much darker and defined than its original version. It's pretty striking. it's a cool-looking figure for sure, but that's a little pricey. Also pricey, but you can... actually more pricey, but there is a Fire Emblem Blythe female version character coming from Good Smile Company. She's it's a heroine from Fire Emblem Three Houses. It's about 1/7 scale and will cost you about $250. Yeah, pricey. This version is based off the version of the avatar people use at the beginning of the game. She's wearing her typical uniform. The Sword of the Creator can be swapped out. One is of the Hero's Relic in its base form. The other is a more active version and shows its whip-like tendencies. Also, a very, very cool-looking figure. I like the ability to switch out the weapons for whichever one you're feeling, looking at, for $250. Yeah. you should be able to do that if you would like to. This will appear in February of next year, and pre-orders are open until January the 20th of this year. There you go. Oh, that's in Japan. North America will have to wait until April of next year to get it. So pre-order it from now until July, and you're not going to get it for a while. Hey, these things take time to make, you know? That's the way it goes. Want to pass along a quick, I don't know, just word. I have finally broken my gaming funk. It has come from an old friend of Final Fantasy X. It's been really fun to get into that once again and enjoying it very much so. It's also been kind of fun to see a game over screen. I'd forgotten, you know, this game is 20 years old, so every once in a while the game will just spike. And the first time I saw it, you kind of know it's coming. You've been playing Final Fantasies for a while. A guy that shows up every once in a while, the Marlboro, and sooner or later he hits you with the bad breath. And if you're not kind of lucky, you're going to be dead. There's really no way to avoid it. So I got him close to death. Luckily, I'd saved it right before that in the Calm Lands. So no problem to just keep right on rolling. But yeah, I've gotten right there to the end of Xenarkern and definitely gotten a couple screens. You just got to kind of regroup, check out the strategy guide and what I need to do a little bit differently. But it's been a lot of fun, and it's definitely got me back into it. And I think I've mentioned this before, this year is going to be the year of the backlog. Obviously, Final Fantasy X was not necessarily in the backlog. I've played it a couple of times, but just one of those ones I wanted to do again. And got more than, well, you can, if you're watching the video of this, you can see some of the games in the background. A lot of those have not been played. So that needs to change this year. What better time to do that? So if you find yourself in a bit of a funk, maybe some of the newer games you've been playing just quite aren't hitting the same, go back and play something that you haven't played before, or you haven't played in a long time. It brings a smile to your face. Don't worry about what other people think about what game you're playing. You know, I'm on a PlayStation 5 playing a PS2 game. Whoop-de-doo. It makes me happy. Do what makes you happy. That's really what I'm getting at there. So yeah, that's my rant of the day. So that'll do it for episode 201. We'll catch you guys again back here next week. Hopefully we'll have some cool things to talk about. Maybe some surprise announcements. You just never know. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, get back out there and level up.